Well, we've been especially blessed again this season by continuing our studies on the Psalms, a book that is frequently neglected in general studies, and yet it is a very powerful and very rich book. And so today I shall be focusing on our passage from Psalm 22. Many of the words, of course, that you heard are very familiar to us from our understanding in the Gospels. But I'm going to give you a little bit of background first in terms of the Psalms series itself, just to sort of break us into this particular psalm. And then we'll look in a little more depth about the psalm itself and the message that it has for us today, particularly at this season of remembrance, when we do think of people all around the world in the past and still now who are suffering in one way or another and who may at some point have felt the need for the comfort of the words in Psalm 22. But first of all, Psalms. Why are they so important to us? Well, I'm going to take you right back to the earliest point in Christian tradition, to that great African theologian Athanasius. So we can't go much further back than that in terms of our Christian slant on these wonderful stories and wonderful songs. But he said this: they are the best part of the Bible, and we should use them for our prayers, whatever our situation. Because there is a psalm that suits our every need. He wrote a letter, in fact, to a man named Marcellinus, and it included this following sentence: whatever your particular need or trouble, from this same book, you can select a form of words to fit it, so that you do not merely hear and then pass on, but learn the way to remedy your ill. We are bidden elsewhere in the Bible also to bless the Lord and to acknowledge him. Here in the Psalms, we are shown the way to do it, and with what sort of words his majesty may meetly be confessed. In fact, under all the circumstances of life, we shall find that these divine songs suit ourselves and meet our own needs at every turn. And if you think about it, you've probably, each one of you, got a particular psalm which you like more than any other. A psalm which you refer to in moments of joy and in moments of sadness, in moments of reflection, in moments of peace, in moments of love. And it obviously won't surprise you to know that you are following in the footsteps of our dear Lord Jesus by doing that, because the book of Psalms was his book that he referred to at all times, of course, throughout his ministry, in all of those high points and low points, leading to the most significant low point where these words have real resonance. So to look at this particular psalm, 22, in a little more detail, it is in fact the most quoted psalm in the New Testament, and one of the most powerful of all the psalms known as the Lament Psalms. And it's significantly, absolutely seeped in that sense of personal experience. That sense floods right through it. You really feel for the writer, the psalmist, as he put his really innermost thoughts and emotions down into these words. Every word counts, if you will. And when you start and you steadily work through, you almost get that sense that despair is driving out hope. Yet, two things support the psalmist, and he remembers that God saved his people. And he looks back on the way God cared for him from his birth. So just when he thinks it might be all bleak, he thanks God. He looks back on his life and remembers not only what God did for his people, but what God did for him as an individual. And with these memories vividly alive in his mind, he pleads with God to deliver him from his overwhelming enemy. And gradually, as he focused on God's character, his faith increases. And at the same time, his depression and his despondency begin to lift. Until in the end, he's able to break into praise, testimony, and worship. So like I said, it's known that Jesus prayed these psalms. And he certainly prayed all of the lament psalms as he approached his final moments on the cross. And we know that he reached those famous words from Psalm 22. Because the Gospels tell us that. And no other psalm or prophecy contains a grander vision of the scope of this throng of worshippers who will join in the praise of God's saving acts. So for us today, as Christians, it's impossible to read this psalm without hearing Jesus, without hearing him crying out in agony on the cross, being engulfed in that sense of darkness, deeper even than the darkness which covered the world in those final moments as he lay dying and in his death. He cries out in the words of a psalm that he would have known from childhood, words of his ancestor, David. These words may have described David's own feeling of desolation at some point in his life, or were words of prophecy concerning his descendant. In Acts, Luke speaks of David as a prophet, foretelling the suffering, death, and resurrection of the Messiah. And they also echo the cry of the human heart today. Bearing in mind what I'm flanked with here, the cry of people today and of our most recent past, the cry of those in intense pain and suffering, calling out to God, who at that most crucial moment in their lives they felt had deserted them. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? It's hard to imagine Christ on the cross feeling that. It's hard to imagine with our faith, our deep faith and love for Father God, having a moment when we might feel that strongly that maybe God is not listening. Maybe God has turned his face away. We may not have experienced that and may never experience that, and hopefully we never will. But many people have felt that moment. And that psalm talks of that very deepest, darkest moment that people can reach before it lifts them up and it takes them to a different place. Because whilst it does begin with that cry, why? It goes on to recall God's love and care for each one of us, even before birth. remembering the sustaining power of God along the way throughout our lives and giving us a sure hope for the future. The psalmist looks forward to praising God. He's gone through that and he's now gone beyond. He has God with him. He's praising God for all that he is doing, for his salvation. He has this glorious vision of the whole of the world worshiping God, who does answer and does save. He sees that great promise of salvation for all the generations unborn and yet to come. And that includes our own generation today and the generations to come. And speaking of that, I'm waiting for a phone call. So if you hear my mobile buzz, if there is a reception here, it's because I'm waiting to hear news of my second grandchild's arrival. So I'm acutely aware of the power of God's love for us all, so I had to share that, sorry. What began in my God, why, ends in assurance and in confidence and in praise. And we too look forward in hope to the day when there will be no need for questions, only songs of praise and songs of thanksgiving. Until then, psalms like this one will enable us to realize that we are never alone. Even in our darkest hour, God is with us, will save us, and never will let us go. In truth, our Lord is always there for us. I'm going to close in prayer, but it's a prayer, really, which is a verse, from Abide With Me. Hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes. Shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. Heaven's morning breaks and earth's vain shadows flee. In life, in death, O Lord, abide with me. Amen.